The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. I think just really a couple of points of real significance for us from this particular gospel. And if you'd like the elaborated non-7:30 a.m. Mass version, then you can check out my podcast later, okay? But I realize that we're laboring under different constraints here so early in the morning. Two things, right? One is that we have to pay attention when Jesus speaks, especially in this kind of symbolic or image-type language, to whom is he speaking? And here he's speaking to his disciples. Okay? That's us. So sometimes it's quite possible I could see this parable having a very different meaning if he were addressing the crowds or if he were addressing the scribes and Pharisees. And it would be a very different lesson. So just for our own, say, knowledge and application of what Jesus is doing, it's very important to see the people to whom he's addressing himself. So here we see this is the disciples. And this probably then relates back to just a few verses before this particular passage, when we see Peter say something like, "Jesus, we've given up everything for you. What's in it for us? What's in it for us?" For a Christian, right? That's a really deadly question. What's in it for us? Why? Because look at God and who he is. We may not know, right? But look at God and who he is. God is love. The Trinity, right? Perfect and pure self-gift between the persons of the Trinity. This eternal exchange of love. This is who God is. And this is who we're made to be. The Trinity is not, say, self-reflective in that sense, the Son keeping his stuff to himself and the Father off in his own way. No, the Father gives everything to the Son. The Son returns everything to the Father. Yeah, this is God. And this is who we are made to be. So we won't be looking at ourselves, navel-gazing, as it were. That's not for us. It's ours to give ourselves away. So just this Peter's question, right? What's in it for us? We gave up everything. What's in it for us? That prompts, at least in part, this parable. But sometimes we have that reaction, so I'd encourage you to spend some time with the thought that that's really not a great question, and yet the fact that this parable may get under your skin. And inasmuch as this parable gets under your skin, you have that mentality that St. Peter, say, brought forth to Jesus. Okay, that's fine. It's fine. Jesus is talking to you in this parable, right? That's fine. We can feel privileged by that question and by Jesus' answer. Okay, the second part, I think, that's really significant in framing this parable is this last line. Thus, the last will be first and the first will be last. So it's not like Jesus said, it's like, okay, everyone received a daily wage and, you know, they all went home and one liked it and one didn't and whatever, but they all got the same thing. Jesus is actually turning it on its head here. Why is it then that the last is first and the first is last? If we have that attitude that Peter had, then the last will be first and the first last. Why? Because that attitude is one that says we deserve what we receive from God. We've put in this much, we're going to get this much out of it. And my friends, it's just not the calculus of God. In fact, it's the opposite. Right? How hard must our hearts be in order to stand before God and ask for what we've earned? Okay, I know well enough to not do that, and I'm thankful for his mercy. Right? We instead ask for his great generosity, for his mercy that looks beyond our transgressions, and for his love that floods our hearts and enables us to enter his vineyard to be about his mission. This is a great privilege in working not just for God, but with God. And that's what we're called to as Christians, called to reflect the love of God. And that means then here, we enter his vineyard work here. We enter Jesus's mission work here when we turn over our hearts and our lives to him, and his love then floods our hearts. We don't want to be caught up in what we're owed at this time. When we're walking forward here in procession to receive the Eucharist, which may be our usual daily wage, right? It's what sustains us. It's our daily bread. When we're walking forward to receive Jesus, we don't want to have the attitude that, you know, God, give me what I've deserved. Give me what I've worked for. No, we want to rely on Jesus' mercy. Lord, give me what goes beyond that. And the more we realize that it's all gift and all grace, the more we receive from God. And that's why the first are last and last are first. When we realize in deep in ourselves that we cannot earn what God is giving us, we more gratefully receive what he gives, and we seek then more eagerly to give it away. When we think we deserve it, the opposite. Our hearts are closed to the workings of his mercy, and we're not even that interested. We're not that happy. We're not that joyful to go out and bring others into the vineyard. So, my friends, today, with reckless abandon, we give ourselves away to God because that's how he gave himself away to us. We receive that selfless, self-giving love so that we can embody it for this world that so desperately needs it.